Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here on a Tuesday, November the 9th, 2021, 13 minutes past the hour. And away we go here for the second hour of the big program this morning. And going to touch on a Marion issue here this morning. As many of you know, if you read the local newspaper, the Marion Star, there has been a changing of the guard, is what they are calling it, down at the Palace Theater. We now have a new executive director. It is Kirk Detweiler, and we are glad to welcome him to these microphones for the first time and discuss how this all came to be and what we can expect in the future. Kirk, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
Doing well. How many days in the job now?
I started Friday, so that's four or five days now.
What's it been like the first 5 days?
It's been somewhat overwhelming. I sat with Bev yesterday. We went over everything, but it's just a very intense job. So it's going to take me, a couple months to get my feet wet, but I'm just taking one day at a time, one event at a time, and one report at a time. So, and I have a fantastic staff here. The ladies that have been working here for years, they know what everybody else does. So they are holding my hand and getting me through it.
What is the job of an executive director?
Well, basically I oversee the operations of the theater. Like right now we're starting to set our 2022-23 season. So later today, I'm sending out a mass letter and application to potential directors to do our five key events that we have planned for 2022-23. So we got to set the schedule. So we have five Palace-produced big events, like Christmas at the Palace, the Summer Musical, etc. And then we fill in with movies and traveling shows and like we had Amy Grant the other night, very successful, things like that. So this is when we start planning our next season, which begins July 1st. It goes from July, the fiscal year, July 1st to June 30th.
Now, I heard from a lot of people the other night that Amy Grant was a sellout show. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, sellout.
Sellout. Now, why do you think a show like that, Amy Grant, is a sellout show?
Well, it's name recognition. She's, a popular singer, but she also kind of reached to two different audiences. She had, started out as a Christian contemporary artist, and then she moved into pop. So she's got two mainstream populations to pull from. And, it was great. We had total different demographics. We had young, we had old, and everything in between.
When we look ahead to the next season, when it comes to choosing the entertainment, especially the well-known artist, how do you get that taken care of? Do you look at who's traveling, where they're going to be? What is the process?
Well, first of all, we have specific niches that we want to fill up. Like country music is very popular. It always sells very well. We work through different agents. Primarily, this guy named Tom Fowler works with one of our agencies. He kind of guides us through, and he's our direct contact with a lot of these because he works for one agency, but he has got a good relationship with others. Yeah, so and we get a lot of submissions. I get five emails a day of people advertising either an artist or a show, and we've got a whole bunch of artists and companies that we work with. Yeah, you see who's going to be performing or who's going to be touring. If we fit into their schedule, they fit into our schedule, etc. So it's a lot of shuffling around.
How are the groups chosen? Does it have to go in front of a board? Is it a decision made by a director? How does that happen?
Yeah, we have a board. There's 19 on the board and 5 or 6 on the executive committee, so everything has to be voted by them. I sit in all the meetings as well, but we'll get like I'm about to send out invitations to our directors to submit ideas for plays and stuff. So we'll get all the submissions, and then we, you know, investigate exactly would this play be appropriate for our audience, et cetera. And then ultimately, it's just the votes. Majority wins.
A lot of businesses are in trouble right now because of the pandemic. Attendance has been down at sporting events and some theatrical mm-hmm. events. Do the finances ever play a part in who comes to the Palace?
Well, we always try to at least break even. So, yeah, it does. I mean, it's trial and error. Sometimes you think something will be really popular and it bombs, or something that you didn't think would be, you know, you're trying out something new and it ends up being extremely popular. Luckily, we have a lot of support from the community. We've got great board members. We've got great donors. We actually benefited during COVID. The federal government had plans for nonprofits, and they helped us tremendously to get through 2020, 2021, when we were closed. So, yeah.
When we look at a concert the other night, like Amy Grant, which sold out the Palace, now that looks great because the Palace sells out and the tickets are a little more expensive, but she's a big-name artist. She's got to be paid to come in and things of that nature. Does a show like that do well in the profit margin when it sells out?
Yeah, it does. I mean, if we price our tickets based on like the artist fee and all the costs, so yeah, the tickets may be more expensive because the artist may be more expensive. You know, she brought a whole band with her. But yeah, it's like Bev just went over this with me yesterday. You fill out a chart. You have like 3 or 4 different ticket prices, and you kind of gauge what you need to do to break even. And you might raise the price a little bit for one show over another due to the cost. So we try to at least break even.
You know, as of late, we had the Amy Grant show, and then I believe a couple weeks ago we had the three country artists there at the Palace, and both of those shows seemed to do very well. Do you think this is just good shows at the Marion Palace Theater, or do you think there possibly is an aspect of people just wanting to get out and do something after the pandemic we've been in?
I think it's definitely a combination of both. As I said, one thing Bev did stress with me, she goes, you can't lose doing a country show. Country is the most popular genre in our area, it seems, because the country shows always do well. But yeah, I think it's a combination of both. People tired of being at home and alone, and we don't have a mask mandate in Ohio anymore, so they don't feel like they're hiding behind a mask, et cetera. So yeah, combination of both.
Typically, when a show like that is going on a production, how many volunteers, how many staff people need to be at a show like that to pull it off?
Well, we had all hands on deck the other night. At least 8 or 10 board members actually helped as well. And it's partially because it was my very first day, and Bev always kind of oversaw everything. So I kind of was just observing what everybody does. I think we had about 30 volunteers. We have a fantastic school of volunteers that are very generous with their time. And we had probably 30 volunteers plus maybe 8 board members, and then my entire team was there, so there was like 5 or 6 of us on top of that.
Now, Kirk, how did you come to this job?
Well, I was a cruise director for 31 years, and COVID, as everybody knows and saw in the news, brought the whole travel industry to a screeching halt. The cruise industry was particularly affected because of the, if you remember at the beginning of the pandemic, there were a couple of cruise ships that had big outbreaks on it. So, and that made the news. So that, and pretty much brought a halt for over a year to the cruise industry. The company that I was working for at the time went completely out of business. It was a brand new company based in Mumbai, India. and it was marketed to Indian citizens. And it was brand new. It was only a year old, so it didn't have deep enough pockets to survive. Now, like Carnival and Royal Caribbean, the big companies, I mean, they just got so much money in the bank that they could survive. But this one didn't. And so the only good thing that came out of COVID for me is this. Bev happened to retire when I was in need of a job, and the timing was good, so here I am.
As a cruise director, what was your job there like?
I was in charge of entertainment and activities. It was a less complicated job than the one I have now because, let's say you do a seven-day cruise, and you change people every 7 days, so pretty much you get into a groove, you know what works, you know what doesn't work. So it's like repeating, it's, you know, it can get monotonous, but it's like every 7 days you just start again and repeat. Here, every day is different, every year is different, every weekend is different. So it's different in that respect.
What appealed to you about this job in this area?
Well, I'm from Marion. I was born in Marion. When I was 12 years old, we moved to Waldo. Actually, we lived outside of Waldo. Do you know where the covered bridge is?
Yes.
Kingsville Golf Course. Okay. The big old farmhouse adjacent to that bridge was where I grew up. My mom sold that house in 99. So I went to River Valley. I got on cruise ships pretty much 1 year out of college. In the early 90s, my father became ill, so I moved back to kind of help my mom out, and I've been back in Ohio ever since 91.
What do you think has changed in people's attitudes in this area over the years?
Well, in regards to what?
Well, the arts tastes.
Well, I think a big hindrance in live performing is that people have so many options now at home. It's like, you know, I was growing up, you and I were growing up, you had three channels, four if you count PBS. Now we're competing against Hulu, Netflix, all the things they can do at home. So I think in that regard, it's harder to get people to come out, you know, to live performances because there's so many opportunities for them to see things in the comfort of their own home.
When you were growing up, what did you want to be?
I actually wanted to be an architect. I used to design houses like when I was like 8-10 years old, but then I discovered that I really wasn't that great at math. So, so I remember wanting to be an architect. And then I got into high school, and my older sister was a big influence on me. She's 2 years older than me, and I would go to River Valley musicals, and I'd sit in the audience and watch her in it. And when I became a freshman, I started trying out for the musicals, and so then I wanted to be an actor. From then on, at college I was I wanted to be a musical theater major, but my parents are like, that's not very practical. They're like, why don't you major in something else and minor in musical theater? So what I ended up doing was majoring in telecommunications and minored in theater and dance. So I tried my hand. I moved to Los Angeles in the mid-80s. I was there for a couple of years trying to be the new Michael J. Fox. Obviously, that didn't work out, but I have no regrets.
What's it like to perform?
What is it like? It's a big adrenaline rush. Once you get a taste of it, it's addictive. That's why people stay in the business as long as they do, even if they're not successful, because ultimately successful. You know, we can't all be Meryl Streep. I think that's it. It's a big adrenaline rush.
Now, is this something you would still like to do, perform?
I will occasionally. I'm going to be in Christmas at the Palace. Claire is allowing me to be in the men's top line. And I'm going to play myself in one scene. So I have a little bit part in the Christmas at the Palace. Yeah, I will occasionally, maybe if the summer musical fits into my schedule, I could be in that. We'll see.
What do you think you can bring to the Palace? Everybody brings something different. What do you think in this position you'll be able to bring?
my skills, my things that I learned to do or that I had practiced doing as a cruise director, one thing that I was going to miss, what I miss about being a cruise director, and I recently, for the past year, I've been entertainment director at a resort in St. Martin, but I absolutely love to conduct trivia. And so what I'm going to bring, one thing we're going to do starting in January, it hasn't been approved by the board yet, but we talked about it at my interview, and they like the idea. So every Thursday, we're going to do, like, trivia, like group team trivia. So we'll have two sessions of trivia every Thursday night. Every week, we'll have a different food truck out on the street so people can bring food in there, have dinner there. I got the idea to do this because... remember before the Brown House burned down, the 29 Brew Club, they used to do trivia every Thursday night. So when I was home, I was in a group. Then we went every Thursday and absolutely loved it. The loft burned down, and then I started doing trivia at my house. So the same group of people, we just started every Thursday. We would go and play. We'd kind of rotate houses, but we'd go play Trivial Pursuit at various houses. But that's the first thing I'm going to do. And that's one thing. That's just one event, but... that's what I can bring to the palace.
Now, as far as events go, are there things that are part of your sensibilities and your makeup that you would like to see at the palace?
I'm not going to make any major changes in programming, like, probably in the first year, because it's been very, very successful. What Bev Ford has done here is, first of all, when she took over, the palace was several hundred thousand dollars in debt. And that has disappeared. She's done a great job fundraising, and they have a really solid calendar. So I'm not going to change anything. If anything, I might add something. I'm not going to take anything out that's been so successful. I'm going to use her blueprint, at least for the first year, because it has proven. She was here 10 years, so she trialed and errored and tweaked it, so it's a well-oiled machine right now, so... that's what's going to happen at least the first year.
You know, it's interesting because we talked about all these other avenues people can use for entertainment at this time. How do you think that is going to affect people going to live theater and live shows as we get further and further into the Netflix generation and further into Hulu and all these things?
Well, it's just all about advertising and giving things that people want to see that they can't get from television. I'm a musical theater enthusiast, and like the trend about 20 years ago they started turning movies into musicals, like Footloose came out, Legally Blonde came out, and I was like really poo-pooing it. I was like, oh, you know, I'm, you know, thinking Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis and stuff, you know, pure musical theater. But then I realized I go to these shows and it's shows like that that are bringing the younger generation in. So now I appreciate them for what they are. I don't know if I answered your question, but this weekend, for example, Harding High School is performing SpongeBob. SpongeBob was a very successful stage musical that I think closed because of COVID on Broadway. It just opened maybe 2019, 2018. But it's really a cute show. But again, it's based on a cartoon, but that's going to get people in because it has name recognition, so... I do not poo-poo that stuff anymore.
When it comes to a local show, what gets people in the doors?
Name recognition. If you do not like a real obscure musical that doesn't have any popular songs in it, people don't know it. They're not going to come. But if it's something that they know, maybe like, you know, movie Chicago is very popular. So if we did Chicago, that would get people in just for the name itself. Or like, you know, Oklahoma or South Pacific, one of the old standards that is well known. So name recognition is very important.
Local theater used to be very, very important. Local people doing a local show. And it's still there, thank goodness. But it's not as popular maybe as it once was. What do you think has happened to local theater over the years?
Well, we still have a very strong community theater here in Marion. I can't speak for, you know, other cities. But again, it's just we're competing with with movies and television and people's dollars. You know, it's like if they're going to spend $19.95 on a ticket to come to the Palace or $19.95 for their monthly subscription to Netflix, they're going to choose Netflix. So I think it's a competition that so many choices people have. But luckily, we've been doing successful here with our very strong community theater. We got some great directors, a lot of great talents in the town. So we are holding our breath and just trudging along.
Can a show that just is solely based on a good plot line, well written, still work? Because it does seem now like so many things, so many shows, even the big stars, bring big sets. It's a whole show in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, you got to have the razzle dazzle. Yeah, people come, you know, to see the whole spectacle. So, and sometimes if a show doesn't have much substance, but it's got a lot of flash, you know, the people, they don't really pay attention to maybe the thin plot line, but it's, you know, got great dancing, great singing, and, you know, give them the old razzle dazzle.
What kind of things at this point interest you? If you're going to go to a show, what do you want to see?
I'm a big fan of musicals, so I do enjoy that. And I like the old, I like the new. But good strong plays as well, dramatic plays. And, I mean, just concerts, like we had Amy Grant. I'm a big fan of all those types of entertainments.
Having a theatrical background, what do you think that brings to your position now at the Palace?
Well, I'm probably the opposite of Bev. Bev was not a performer. Bev was more of a businesswoman. I'm more coming from an artistic side of it, and I'm going to have to learn the business side of it. Now, she developed a great eye for, you know, what worked and what didn't. And not saying that I've just because I've set foot on stage as a performer that I would know what's going to be popular. But I, you know, I have more of an artistic eye maybe than she did. She was more business. I'm more artistic. So we'll see.
Do you think, as you look ahead, that the transition will be easy enough?
The job is huge. The job is absolutely huge. And God bless Bev Ford. She spent the last several months putting together. I have a binder. It's an encyclopedia. Any possible situation, any form, any, you know, all the things that I will need to know over the next year, she has put in writing. And I don't know how many hundreds of hours she spent doing that, but it's going to help me out greatly. It's going to be busy. The thing here is, too, it's pretty slow paced, though. Like we had Amy Grant, and then, you know, we're in the office for a few days. So I have a lot of days to catch up on the paperwork. And then, you know, we have Harding High School this weekend, so that's busy because you got to be here for that. So the days are long. But because we don't have, like, an event every night, it's kind of a nice slow pace. We still put in, you know, our 60, 70 hours a week, but... there's like being a cruise director, it was just frantic. And that's what is not here. It's very laid back, and I have plenty of time to soak it all in.
Does it seem a little bit overwhelming at this point with all that information?
Oh God, yes. Yes, it is. But, I've been in this situation before, and I've just learned breathe, take one day at a time, one report at a time. Lean on your people. Luckily, Bev hired some really, really smart, great people who know what they're doing, and they're just, like, leading me every day. So, I mean, I'm not worried.
What's it like to be the new kid in the shop on the block in a place that has run so well?
Well, I think the expectations are high, but... I haven't encountered anything negative at all. It's been so positive here. I've only been here 5 days, so ask me again in a couple weeks. But so far it's been pretty nice.
When we look at local theater as a whole, as we will head into Christmas at the Palace not too long from now, why do people still like to come to those shows?
Well, I mean, Christmas, everybody loves Christmas and Christmas shows, so... And Claire Cook, she you know, has got a different twist on it every year. There's only so many Christmas carols and Christmas songs that you can use. But she always gives a new, fresh twist to it. But it's like going to church. You know, you go to church on Christmas Eve. You're going to hear the biblical story. You're going to sing the same songs. But people enjoy that just because it gets them into the Christmas spirit.
Did you ever think you would be in this position? Before the pandemic started and everything was going okay, did you ever think you'd be back here in Marion being the executive director of the Palace Theater?
I mean, I had actually thought of it before. 10 years ago when Tina, the lady who was the executive director before Bev, I had just gotten off a ship, and at that point I'd been cruising for like 25 years, and I was like, maybe it's time to do something different. So I got home, and my friends are like, hey, you know, Tina's retiring. Why don't you go for that job? So I got my resume together, and by the time I got it in, they had already chosen Bev. So 10 years ago, I almost applied for the same job, but she had, at that point, like 12 years experience here, and she'd worked her way up from box office, so she had done every position working her way up to this. So she was the obvious choice then.
Is it hard to come in to a place where you have not worked? As you had said, Bev had a lot of positions there, I believe, under Tina and also under Elaine Merchant, who preceded Tina in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Bev had been there for a while. By the time she came to the position, she had worked with the directors. She had done most every job there. To come in kind of cold to this situation, do you think you'll have different mountains to climb than maybe Bev did?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. But as I said, just take one day at a time, one event at a time, and we'll get there. The great thing is, like, all the ladies that work in the office here, they've all been here for several years. So, you know, they know every nook and cranny of the theater. And I've done probably 8 or 10 shows here, so I'm familiar with the space and stuff. But I'm really leaning on my support team, and they are of vast knowledge and a tremendous help. So together we will make it through this.
You know, one of the things about theater that's interesting is the cost of the ticket. Do you think that with the average wage here in Marion, that people are still able to bring maybe a family of four out to a show when the cost of the ticket is what it is now?
Yeah, no, that's always a concern, and prices are always going up. I remember, like, in the 80s, it was a huge deal when they started charging $100 a ticket for Phantom of the Opera, and, you know, now, like, I think the most expensive ticket we had for Amy Grant was $48, and, yeah, if you have a family of four, that's why we have, you know, three or four different price ranges, so maybe they don't get the best seat in the house, but maybe they still can afford to come.
What is the best, I guess when we divide this up, how much is a business and how much is theatrics?
My job, I think, is going to be about 90% business. It just depends on what job you have. You know, some of the directors that come in, well, Christy Wink used to work here, so she ran the academy and stuff. So her position was 90% artistic, 10% business. So it depends on what job you have. Because I'm top of the food chain here, I oversee everything. Most of it is business.
Is it difficult to be the boss?
No, I've been the boss before. I can be very bossy. Now, you know, being a cruise director, and I worked on the big ships of Royal Caribbean. I had 85 people under me. So I learned to delegate and lean on my supervisors. And so I will do the same thing here. I don't see any problems.
What's your biggest excitement with taking this position?
I think the biggest excitement for me is like being able to go home at night. Since 1985, I've always been traveling in my job. Like, as cruise director, I would work 4 months and then have 2 months off. So the maximum I was ever home was 4 months a year. So just the fact that I can go home at night and... that's huge for somebody who's, you know, had a traveling job their entire career. So I think that's what I'm most excited about.
Do you have
down some roots?
Yeah, that always helps. Do you have a fear? What's your greatest fear when it comes to this?
Not really fear. There's nervousness involved in doing something new. I suppose everybody has a fear of failing, but I don't think I will, and I will attribute that again to the support team. It's such a great team here. They're watching my back. They're not going to let me fail. If I fail, they fail. So, yeah, not really a fear.
When we look at the Palace Theater, it's been there for a long time. It's going through ebbs and flows. You talked about it being in debt at some points and then being pulled out of debt. Really, what is it country music here that's going to drive the force to keep us out of debt?
Well, I think it's the variety of things that we'll choose. Like, I don't know how many, two or three country events a year isn't going to break you even. There is importance in having country music just because it is a guaranteed seller. But I think our program is so diverse, we don't depend on one particular genre to get us through.
Do you find that the crowd for theater at this point is particularly 40 and above?
Yes. Traditionally, yes. Even in Amy Grant, I think the average age was probably 60.
60.
55, 60. That's definite. And that's because those are people who grew up with theater. People who only grew up with three channels, and they don't rely on Netflix for their entertainment. They enjoy the live experience. And that's something the new generation, you see kids and their faces in their phone. They don't pay attention to anything. They're texting their friends and watching TikTok. That's, the digital generation. So, yeah, trying to capture them.
Is there any way to do that at this point? It's a fascinating thing because we're about to head into a generation that is going to have purchasing power that has never lived without a cell phone. They've never lived without internet. They've never lived without YouTube. It's a completely different thing than the people who are 50-50. They've had it. They haven't had it. And then the people who really never had it growing up. That generation is just about to graduate high school.
Exactly. Yep.
How do you get those people in? Is there a way to do that?
Give them what they want. We'll have several events that are geared towards a younger generation. Try to get them to become faithful Palace goers.
The Palace is downtown. What is the importance of downtown and the connection to the Palace?
Well, I got to tell you, I love what's going on downtown. The business people that have gotten together, Marion Maid, and just, it's important because this, the downtown area here, I think when the mall opened up in the late 60s, a lot of the stores closed downtown. So, the downtown of any city is, it's the heartbeat of it. So it's important. And I love what's going on downtown. A lot more things happening down here. And I'm glad that Ben Palace is a part of that.
Now, aside from the people who work at the Palace, has anybody in the community reached out to you since hearing that you have this position?
Yes. There have been people, like the Rotary has reached out to me. They're inviting me to join. We work a lot with Dean Jacob at the Foundation. I went to high school with him. I think he chose the other. So he's an old friend of mine anyway. But, yeah, people have, as a matter of fact, quite a few.
Yeah. What do you find the Marion community to be at this point? Friendly? Accepting?
People in Marion, we're Midwesterners, so dealing with people from around the world, even people from foreign countries recognize Midwesterners as being open and friendly. And I think we set that stereotype well, and it's a good stereotype to fit into, but yeah, we're Midwesterners, we're solid people, hardworking people, friendly people, outgoing.
if you're going to go to a show personally, a show at a live theater, what show do you go to? What type of show?
I like the musicals. I like, if I go to Broadway, I'll, you know, if I had like three chances to go, I probably would pick three musicals. If there was like a good solid straight play with somebody famous that I wanted to see, I'd see that. But yeah, I'm kind of a musical nerd.
Anything on television that appeals to you these days?
Yeah, I've been watching Ozark. I'm really into it, strangely. There's so much programming, but like true crime, I love Forensic Files and shows like that.
You know, that it's very interesting. That has become a whole niche of itself. Years ago, it did not seem to be that way, but almost everybody I talk to, when you ask them what they watch, it's either Forensic Files or the ID Channel or something in that vein. Why do you think those type
of shows?
I don't
know. There's something intriguing about it. All I know is when I was in eighth grade and the book Helter Skelter came out, and I read it and did not sleep at night. I was terrified, but intrigued at the same time. So since then, like the true crime books and true crime TV shows and documentaries have always been intriguing to me. I don't know why. It's just like looking at a car crash, you know.
Do you have somebody who you have looked up to in the theater world?
Oh, absolutely. I'd say my two mentors in Marion, George Schramm was always my director at River Valley High School. And he just put so much energy and love into the productions that was a big reason why I fell in love with the theater. Claire Cook, she's now the current director. We always laugh because our first show at the Palace was Oliver in 1977. She choreographed it, and I played one of the kids in it. Claire Cook has been a huge influence on me. And prior to her, Eula Watts, who's passed away several years ago, in the 80s, late 70s, early 80s, she was the main director here. She had a big influence on me as well.
You know, talk a little bit about Eula. She's, as time goes on, the memory goes a little bit. But Eula was a very important part of theater in this area.
Well, yeah, she was a spitfire. Let me tell you, she just was a brilliant director. She didn't take any BS from anybody. She told it like it was. If you weren't doing something right, she'd stop the rehearsal and you know, set you straight. But everybody loved her, though. She just had a hilarious sense of humor. She was just a little spitfire.
You know, a lot of people come to rehearsals of shows, local shows at the Palace, and they'll see the director talking to somebody, and as you say, to an outsider, you might look at that and say, boy, that's not the way to talk to somebody. But in those circles, why is it different?
I don't know. Every director is different. I've had directors who, yell at you, embarrass you in front of everybody. But you don't make that same mistake again. You never want to be on the receiving end of that. So, but every director is different. Some, you know, some are gentle, some are a little more fierce. But it just depends on their personality.
Are there things in your mind that can't play at the Palace, that just in this area, in that theater, 1,400 seats, aren't going to work?
Well, we found that family-friendly programming is what people want. Just take, for example, 1990, the summer musical was a Chorus Line. And Claire Cook, I think that was one of the first shows she actually directed. But a Chorus Line, you know, it's true stories about true dancers, and she wanted it to be authentic. So she made a deal with the Palace that we are going to use the original language. There's a lot of cussing in it. And they advertise it as such, that, you know, we're using the original script with the original language. We're not cutting out any of the F-bombs or anything. And, you know, they still got complaints, but it's best just to play it safe and try to be family friendly. You don't want to turn anybody off.
In this business, is it okay to have a show make a misstep and maybe the audience doesn't show up, and be able to just turn right around and pick it right back up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it happens every time. I'm not every program is going to be sold out, standing room only. So, yeah, and it's built into the budget as well. You know, they got a break-even point. So as long as you hit that, we're okay. Luckily, we've got, you know, fantastic endowments. We got fantastic patrons who, and as I said before, Bev is very good about researching government grants for the arts. So we have a lot of funding. So the ticket sales, it's good if we break even, but it's not cataclysmic if we don't always, because we have so much support from the community.
We've got about 7 minutes here left this morning, and this is a very interesting conversation. As we look ahead, what excites you on the schedule? What would you buy a ticket to and want to come see?
Well, I've always been kind of like autograph hound, so I was real excited to meet Amy Grant. I made a complete fool of myself. but I'm looking forward to meeting Debbie Boone. So that's the next thing I'm excited about, is Debbie Boone coming, because she's got a Christmas show, I think December 12th, White Christmas. Yeah, so if you don't have tickets yet, we still have plenty of tickets for Debbie Boone.
Now, when first show, Friday night, Amy Grant, what was it like? What was it like for you to be there? First show, it's a sellout show. You know you're taking over this job. You're in this position. What was it like to walk into the theater that night, meet Amy Grant, see the place full, see the place hopping? What was the experience like?
It was a rush. Luckily, because it was kind of decided that I was just going to observe, just to see what happened. And as I said, like 8 or 10 board members came to help usher and direct traffic and make sure that I was okay. I mean, it was just thrilling, and I was a little nervous for my curtain speech, but I've talked publicly my entire life, so I really don't know why I was nervous, probably just because it was the first time out. But I had so much support, it was just more thrilling than anything else.
Is there a pressure here? Right now, is this headache time?
Well, yeah. I mean, anytime you start a new job, there's, you know, there's, yeah. The first 2 months, I'm just going to be walking around just trying to soak it all in. But as I said, got the great staff here, plus it's pretty slow pace. So I'm not worried.
What is the secret to fundraising? Because this is a big part of the job.
Well, that's the part I'm learning. Bev has been real helpful, you know, she's guiding me in like researching the grants and stuff. But otherwise, I mean, right now we have got this great set of Marion residents who are patrons year after year after year. We set a record last year during COVID of memberships. We broke up $100,000 just in the memberships. You know, the different levels and stuff. And that was a complete record and a complete surprise. Because COVID, we weren't, you know, several months, nothing was going on here. So that saved our lives, that and the government assistance. Just so it saved the year for the palace.
How long do you think you would like to stay in a position like this?
I'm saying 10 years. I'm 59 years old, so that'll be about the time I would want to retire. So I'm kind of in the back of my head saying 10 years.
So you like
it? This definitely will be my last job.
A nice even decade.
Fired. And have to still work.
Well, when it comes to this, is there a contract or anything that's in place?
I think I go year to year. I haven't really signed anything yet. But I think it's year to year. After 1 year, they review. So I think that's what it is. I didn't really talk about that.
You've talked about the staff there and the people in regard to the palace just in general. Is it a cohesive unit, a friendly unit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they are all fantastic. Right now, the office staff, it's all ladies. I'm the only guy here, and they're fantastic. I can't say enough good things about them.
Do you think there's any...
They answer every question I have, and there's a lot of them. So,
do you think there's a reason that there are not any men in those positions?
No, I have no idea. Maybe, I don't know. That's just who applied for it. I don't know. They just chose the best person. I don't know. I wasn't around then, so I don't know what the situation was.
In a couple of years, who is your big get? Who would you like to see at the Palace?
Here's what I'm trying to do. One of my best friends from college is married to Tina Fey, so I know her quite well. So I'm going to present to them, because he still lives, his mother still lives in Ohio, so they're here several times a year. That maybe that would fit in their schedule. Do a fundraiser, like an evening with Tina Fey. So I mean, that's what I'm working on now. I haven't talked to Jeff lately, but I would love to get that, because they've been very generous. We went to Kent State together. Jeff Richmond is his name, and they've been very generous to the theater at Kent State. So I'm hoping a little of that will rub off. So that's my goal.
Your all-time get as a performer. Who do you want to meet?
Who would I like to meet? Probably Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
Why is she the best? Everybody says that. The best living actress.
She's so versatile. I mean, she gets lost in her roles. You forget it's her. I mean, and she does... She researches the accents so well. She's a genius. That's why nobody... There's not really anybody who's as versatile as she is.
You know, Kirk, obviously you've just started the job and we've only got a minute left here, but at the end of this 10-year period, what are the attributes that you want people to look back and say of your decade as executive director of the Palace?
Probably that he continued the tradition, great traditions of the theater, and maybe, you know, I'll have added a couple things that become annual events. And I leave my mark, and that we are fiscally viable, continue to be. I just want to keep it going in the right direction.
Absolutely. Our guest this hour has been Kirk Detweiler. He is the new executive director of the Marion Palace Theater, only on the job 5 days, but hopefully it is a long run for him. And Kirk, I'm sure we will speak more often. I thank you for your time today, and best of luck with the new endeavor.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Kirk Detweiler over there at the Palace Theater. All right for this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
107.1 FM. Listen for guests like legendary comedian Shecky Green.
No, well, you also did